lately in our local news that Legionnaires' disease has been diagnosed in Onondaga County. It looks like about a dozen people have been diagnosed with it. They all seem to be located on Onondaga Hill, but we're not really sure why that's necessarily true. We have so many questions about Legionnaires' disease that on the phone we have Dr. Shelley Gilroy, infectious diseases expert and clinical professor of medicine at SUNY Upstate, to answer some of these questions for us. Good morning, Dr. Gilroy.
Good morning, Trisha.
Speak to me about Legionnaires' disease. I remember many years ago, there were a number of people who died from it, I think in Philadelphia.
Right. Legionnaires' disease was diagnosed back in 1976, and it got its name because there was an outbreak of pneumonia in several people who were attending an American Legion's conference down in Philadelphia. And it's an organism that comes from the environment, and it's associated with stagnant, warm water. So it's one of the organisms that where a person becomes infected with it, you have to look at the environmental area where they are in order to try to figure out where the organism came from.
I see. So these Legionnaires, the American Legion members,
right,
were attending a conference. They were all in one hotel, weren't they?
Exactly. And they believe it was related to the air conditioning system.
I see.
The water vapor from the air conditioning system.
I see. And so that water was heated and the organism grew and got into the air?
Right.
I see. Okay.
And what happens is how you can get infected is if you're exposed to, it depends on the number of germs that you're exposed to and also the status of your immune system. So if you have if you're healthy and you're exposed to a small number of germs, then you're not going to come down with this infection. It's only if you're exposed to a very large number of the germs and you have a weakened immune system that you're at the most risk, and also if you're a cigarette smoker.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So it's not really age-related necessarily. It's immune, whatever your immune system is doing at the moment.
Well, it's also another risk is older age. They say anybody over the age of 65 mm-hmm. is at risk, and infants as well.
I see. Okay. That would make a lot of sense. All right. What are the symptoms?
The symptoms are high fever, usually in the range of 104 to 105 degrees.
Wow.
Headache, mm-hmm. A cough, some shortness of breath. And when your healthcare provider examines you, they'll listen to your lungs and they'll hear some symptoms that go along with pneumonia. And then they'll do a chest x-ray that will show signs of pneumonia.
I see. All right. And so somebody could be diagnosed with pneumonia, but it could really be Legionnaires' disease or vice versa?
Yes, it is one of the organisms that can cause community-acquired pneumonia along with streptococcal pneumonia.
I see.
And there's specific tests that you should do if you suspect it. And one of them is a urine test, and the other one is to get some material that you cough up from the lungs and culture that.
I see.
And you have to look and ask for specifically for Legionella.
I see. Oh, and Legionella is the name of the organism?
Yes.
I see. You know, I'm asking these questions because, as many of our listeners know, I was recently diagnosed with pneumonia. And, of course, my friends are all saying, oh, my gosh, you must mm-hmm. have Legionnaires. But some of the symptoms are different. My fever was not as high and so
right.
forth. So I think I'm pretty safe in just dealing with pneumonia.
Yes.
But there is treatment for it. What I remember from all those Legionnaires all those years ago is that many of them died.
Mm-hmm.
Did they just not get treated quickly enough, or?
That could have been part of the problem. The other problem is the age group of the patients that were at that conference might have had something to do with it, and it also could have had to do with the amount of germ that they were exposed to when they inhaled at the time that they became infected.
I see.
So the number of organisms that one gets exposed to has an effect on how
mm-hmm.
whether or not you're going to get infected
right.
as well.
How is it treated?
It's treated with a common antibiotic, erythromycin, or one of those the medications in that drug class.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times patients get treated with that antibiotic because that antibiotic does cover the most common organisms associated with pneumonia. So sometimes people will get treated, and they may not even know they might have had it unless the specific testing is done. So that's why we're trying to get, you know, healthcare providers to make sure that you include that in your diagnosis of a person with pneumonia. If you suspect that they have Legionella, that you should do the appropriate testing, which would include a urine and sampling of some of the material that comes from the lungs that a person coughs up for
mm-hmm.
cultures for
mm-hmm.
Legionella.
I see. So, and once somebody starts on that antibiotic, they stay on a course of it for how long?
About 10 to 14 days.
Okay. All right. And just get rid of it and kill all of those bacteria.
Yes.
Yeah, all of those germs. And then are they back on their feet, or are they going to have residual
yes.
effects?
Most people do recover very well. It's people that have, you know, cigarette smokers and people that have some underlying lung diseases that might take longer time for them to improve, and they might have some residual problems afterwards.
All right. Is it contagious?
No, it's not transmitted from person to person.
Only through the environment.
Exactly.
I see. All right. Is there anything then that people should be doing to prevent getting Legionnaires, or is it just something that they've got to make sure they're not in the wrong place at the wrong time?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, Tricia, because that's one of the reasons why people should stop smoking. So that would be one of the ways you can prevent yourself from getting it. And then the other way is, washing your hands and, there's certain water temperatures that are associated with Legionella, making sure that the water temperature is appropriate for your house. But most of the time, it's not transmitted through the domestic water system. It's more involvement of cooling towers that have it, hot tubs. So if you clean your hot tub, according to the manufacturer's recommendations, it should be fine. If you say you open up one of your camps, in a building where the faucets haven't been used or the showers, you might want to run the water for a certain amount of time.
Aha, good idea.
I'm
sure that's not something that people think of, but that really is very good advice.
It's mostly associated with stagnant water that's warm, a temperature, lower temperatures than usual.
And we need to be aware that warm water is also the cooling towers and the air conditioning units. They do produce warm water. I mean, it's hard to think of it as being generating cold air, but they do produce warm water.
Right, exactly.
Very good. All right. Well, is there anything else we need to know about Legionnaires' disease, Dr. Gilroy?
Just that if you're an otherwise healthy person, the likelihood of you coming down with a severe infection is very low. And even to become infected, as long as you remain healthy, just make sure if you're a smoker, this is another reason why you should probably think about stop smoking. And the other one is just to wash your hands.
Very good. Well, Dr. Shelley Gilroy, infectious diseases expert from SUNY Upstate, you've been immensely helpful in teaching us about Legionnaires' disease. We thank you so much for your time this morning.
Oh, thank you.
Hi, I'm psychologist Dr. Rich O'Neill with this week's checkup from the neck up. A giant guinea pig in pajamas? Or, boing, I'm awake, now what? Good morning, dear listeners. Last Monday night, I did all the scientifically proven right stuff for a good night's sleep. Went to bed at my usual time, no late-day caffeine, exercise, or booze. The bedroom was dark, quiet, cool. And I slipped into dreamland like a kitten on a radiator. Then, 3 a.m., brain to me. Good morning! This is your wake-up call, Dr. Neckup. Me. Good morning. Wait a minute, brain. Wait a minute. It's 3 o'clock. I asked for 7:30. Brain. Sorry. I don't know who programmed this message, but I do know you're up. So my job is done. Good luck getting back to sleep. Ha ha. And then wake-up reinforcers rushing out of some sulfurous intracranial crack, thoughts like, this is terrible. You have back-to-back stuff scheduled tomorrow. You're going to be miserable and won't get anything done all day. You'll never get back to sleep. And that has been true many nights. I've lain, or is it laid? Whatever. Stayed horizontal on the mattress, chewing that bitter cerebral cud over and over and over for unpleasant hours until I finally gave up, got vertical, and trudged ahead miserable. But lately, like early Monday, I'm trying something new. I've been thinking of myself as a giant guinea pig in pajamas. That in itself is kind of fun, already a neck-up improvement. And I've been doing an experiment. Hey, if you're a guinea pig, why not? I know the sleep experts suggest when this kind of thing happens, we should get up, have a glass of warm milk, read something boring, and go back to bed when we're sleepy. But I hate warm milk, and I don't want to waste my time reading boring stuff. I've got lots of stuff to do. And, one scientifically proven solution doesn't fit all, so I designed my own experiment. So instead, I jump up, make a few piggy squeaks, and start solving whatever problems I'm afraid I won't have the time and energy to tackle in the AM because I'll be too cranky and sleepy. If I'm afraid I won't be able to write my checkup from the neck up, I write it. If I'm afraid I won't have time to clear the bills and junk off the dining room table in time for guests later that day, I write the checks and clean up pickup. If I'm afraid I'll miss my pre-work bike ride or run, I do that on the exercise bike in the basement, or grab a flashlight and head out for the run in the dark. Basically, since us human beings are problem-solving organisms who feel better moving to solutions, I shift from ruminating about my problems to solving my problems. And you know what? Often after some progress, I feel calmer, virtuous, productive, and sometimes a good, sleepy, tired, and I slide very quietly back in between the sheets, careful not to wake up my slumbering sweetie pie because, well, she's not too fond of guinea pigs. So next time your brain goes, boring, don't worry, get busy. Take two solutions and call me in the morning. Let me know how it worked out. I'm Dr. Rich Squeaky O'Neill. Thanks for listening.